It is very rough ground. Now, of course, it's getting very valuable.
Yeah.
I don't mean to belittle it. Hindsight's a great thing, you see. Jeff and Marie Ellen at one time owned all of Signal Hill and sold it all before oil. Neither Jeff and the Ellen's family ever got any oil income except through Alamias Land Company.
I see. But there was oil that went on up into Los Cerritos.
Some little wells, but Amelia had one or two of them. It never amounted to anything.
It had probably sold off.
It sold the land before the oil, yeah.
Because I've seen a map, a county surveyor's map, that area was laid out in 1907, and streets were dedicated to the county. And so evidently they were attempting to sell parts of the land for development.
That's right.
And some of the oil did go up as far as Bixby and Roosevelt.
There was some oil wells that went in there. Well, that came along with a well down south of Bixby Road. From which we were getting a little royalty, $20-$30 a month. And we never could find that we really had clear title to it. And sometime or other, the company... Well, the company had started sending us royalties, and they abandoned it. While I was there, we made two leases. Well, later, as I began to sell them, they kept saving the oil rights underneath. And sell the land, but reserve the oil rights. Well, Jeff and Bixby Company... near as I can tell, probably had 4,000 or 5,000 acres of subsurface oil rights up there in Bixby Knolls. And Standard Oil at one time leased a part of it. Their maps showed that the company had owned those subsurface rights. The Texas company, I think, made another lease while I was there. Both abandoned. Never developed any oil. When we dissolved the company,
which company?
Jeff and Bixby Company. We had to get rid of everything out of the company. So here was all this stuff you couldn't even describe. We weren't sure where it was even. Well, at the end, we ended up having a company deed to a shop stockholders personally. We could describe the two pieces of subsurface that had been under lease, but not the rest of it. So the company gave those descriptions, plus anything else that it may have owned or may have title to its shareholders. No value. Nobody knew any value for it, but still that way, you know.
What year was this?
1977.
So Jeff and Bixby Company was dissolved in 1977.
Immediately the same year.
So what we have left now are...
Alamias and Bixby Land.
You have worked as a vice president or general manager?
But Jeff and I started as real estate manager, then general manager, then general manager and president for 15 years. Amelia Company, I was secretary treasurer and actually the only working officer. In Bixbyland and Alamitas, did you ever know Norm Wines by any chance?
No.
Wines, McCrory, accounting.
Well, I know the firm.
Well, during the Depression and at the end of the war, the companies were all in financial troubles, and their stockholders personally in worse troubles. And the Security Bank had loaned them so much money, it had taken the stock as security. I know when I was with the bank, during the Depression, the appraisers were down every year appraising what the Bixby's had left. And I think the bank would have foreclosed, except they couldn't afford to. I think during the war, the records of some of the companies were pretty mixed up, and the bank got the companies to take a man named Norm Wines out of their trust department, who was an accountant, to get things straight. Well, in the Jotham Bixby Company, there's always been family dissension. Two branches of the family didn't get along. Well, they ended up making Norm Wines a general manager with all the authority of the president. And the other company, he was the secretary of treasury and really ran the company when Mrs. Amelia died. When I started there in 1948, I was an assistant to Norm Wines to deal with real estate, not the corporation. And 7 years later, well, I spent most of my time with the Jotham Bixby Company on that subdivision. Well, they knew the company still had a big warehouse in Los Angeles, which I looked after. About 1950, Bixby Land Company started to build its shopping center at Ximenol, the most coyotes diagonal.
Oh, yeah.
And Bix, who was then president and still is, had been there for 40 years. Started me helping with the new buildings and stuff. And ultimately had me put on the payroll. In 1955, Mr. Wangs died. Well, he had been Secretary Treasurer of Bixby Land, Alameda's Land, Amelia. When he died, I became General Manager of Jotham Bixby Company. And that was tantamount to being President, because they changed their bylaws, so the General Manager had all authority and the President had none. And I became Secretary Treasurer of Amelia, succeeding Norm. I also became Secretary Treasurer of Alameda's and Bixby Land when he died. So I worked for all four companies until 1977. We had another little company called Bixby Knowles Parking Association, which ran the parking lots and the common areas and the Bixby Knowles Shopping Center. I ran that too, so I really worked for five companies for 15, 18 years. In 1977, when we liquidated Jotham, the Bixby Knowles Parking Association went with it. And we liquidated Amelia, and since then I've had secretary of jobs in Alameda and Bixby Land. Twice a year, at least I offer my resignations because I'm way over age. One of these days they'll accept. Those companies, I think, will go on forever.
These are just privately held companies by family? members of the county?
I would guess at least 90% of the stock is owned by descendants of the original Llewellyn and Jotham. And John, and Alamedus, it's Jotham, Llewellyn, John, and Hellman. Hellman's his descendants are pretty heavy stock owners there. And Bixby Land Company, over 90% of it is are descendants of Llewellyn and Jotham.
Now,
but that's quite a number now, over 100.
Now, Bixby Ranch Company is a separate.
Completely separate. Fred had incorporated as the Fred H. Bixby Ranch Company. And after he died, they changed the name to Bixby Ranch Company. It's a strictly family company, too. If we have any outside stockholders at all, I'm not aware of it. It's a very large company. Those two oil fields. And big cattle, bigging cattle up north of Santa Barbara. Doing all this building and subdividing here and in Orange County. They own the old ranch country club.
From the beginning of the Bank of Long Beach, which became eventually the Securities Bank, the Bixby's have always been affiliated with that bank.
Well, Jotham was the first president of that bank.
Yeah.
He hired J.P., that's the father, I think from Iowa, to come out here and run it. And that was at Ocean and Pine, as you probably know.
Yeah.
And then they grew, and they built the building at First and Pine, a five-story building. You know that. And then in 1925, they tore that down and built the building that's there now. When I came along, P.E. Hatch in 1933 was still coming to the bank. That front office on the first floor was his. He was beginning to get seen out. But he'd come down there. His son, J.E., was really running the bank. He sat outside in front of that office where Carolyn sat when she was in. I couldn't get used to it. That was the boss's desk at my floor. But P.E. had one man named Lee Powell, who was the cashier. He was still at First and Pine when I came along in 1933. He loved to fish and went fishing with him a few times. He'd laugh about the days when he and P.E. ran the banks, the old bank at Ocean and Pine. His job every day was to get there at 6 o'clock, open up and sweep out the bank and dust the desk and get ready to open the doors when P.E. came in. Make sure I'm wrong about it.
Well, Carolyn said that she understood that Llewellyn Bixby had also worked for Security.
Yeah, he worked there for, I think, less than a year. I was a messenger boy and stuff.
But when the Bank of Long Beach, the National Bank of Long Beach and Long Beach Savings merged and then eventually were bought by Security, did Llewellyn Bixby or Bixby still retain stock in the bank?
When I came along, they had no stock ownership at all.
I see.
I don't know when they broke that off.
You banked with them representing the company?
Still felt very close to them. And I felt close to them because I worked there.
So when you developed Bixby Knoll Shopping Center, for example, was there any special reason why Security Pacific Bank went in there and said...
Probably talked to them before anybody else, and they decided to do it.
Well, the same thing would be true with when we developed that Lakewood Plaza area.
That's right, same thing. Lakewood Plaza? Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, they call it Lakewood Plaza. I bank at the Security Pacific Bank on Palo Verde and Spring.
No.
And it's called the Lakewood Plaza branch.
Yeah, well, we...
It's sort of a ridiculous name.
Yeah, we don't own where they are. We own the other corner, where the Bank of America is.
Oh, and the bowling alley. And
yeah, that's right.
Oh,
it's Alameda's land.
I see.
I mentioned that Alameda's Land Company had owned land in the tidelands north of Sunset Beach.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the war, the Navy came along and condemned that property for the ammunition and net depot.
Yeah.
Well, Alameda's took the money it got and bought, six 700 acres at Palo Verde and Spring. To defer taxes. And then they traded that land, except for 8 acres at the corner, for a ranch in Imperial Valley. Subdividers wanted to buy the land. And, they bought the ranch in Imperial Valley at Alameda's Morning, and they traded. And then Alameda's developed that northeast corner with the bowling alley and the Bank of America and now National Lumber. We built there for Safeway at first. Safeway didn't make it. The other three corners have been developed by other people. And we don't have anything to do with those.
I think one of those corners, some area right there, is still county property.
It was in the county, yeah.
I can't quite understand how that happens, but...
Well, it was still, I thought it was in the county to begin with, but we chose to annex.
I see.
Yeah, that's all in the Slam Company.
And you earlier showed me the minutes that you had, the
balance
minutes of the...
Jotham and Amelia. I would, if the college wants them, I don't know anything better to do with them.
I think the college would be delighted to have them because that's historical material of great value.
I think I better delay it a while because it's got salaries and stuff in and some of the people who are still alive might not like it.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 5 years now since the company was gone. By the time I was seen, there are two grandsons still alive. Steve over in Arizona and Dave down in Leisure World.
Mm-hmm.
No interest in that stuff at all.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's too bad. But the university loves to have
them. So I kept them. I've been blood, sweat, and tears for Jotham especially.
Yeah.
A lot of family problems there. We're very unhappy. Mm. Well, they couldn't have a Bixby as president. They couldn't agree on which one.
Oh, really?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, dear.
After the second Jotham Bixby, the son of the originals died, and they had to have somebody outside the family be president.
Okay.
They couldn't agree between themselves.
Oh.
And so I became then. Well, I'll take that back. That was true for quite a while after I was there. Then there was enough of a I'll say Cold War instead of a hot war. Like Richard Bixby became president for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But the other branch of the family, you know, he really hated it, and they finally pushed him out, poor guy.
But the other members of the family were really, all their interest was simply to get the income from
money, the money, money, money. Don't even, that's the other side of the family was one woman who had so much stock from her father that she had a lot of power. She hadn't lived out here for 40 or 50 years. She lives in Miami and New York and London,
mm-hmm.
very wealthy.
So they have other interests. As far as, other financial interests, activities, and...
She just had nothing. She didn't work.
Yeah.
But for a while, she had income from Jotham, and she, through her father, she then had income from Bixby Land.
Uh-huh.
And some from Alamitas. Only child.
So you held it all together for
them, Gary.
And made money where you could.
That's all I could do. Then there's Steve was the dominant member of the Amelia family, and the Amelia family and this woman were deadlocked about 50-50, and the
mm-hmm.
bank had a trust which was the balance of power between them.
Oh, I see.
The bank tried to stay neutral, right? I don't blame them. You remember Tucker at the bank? You know, worked closely with him. The bank had to cast the deciding votes once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we haven't even talked about your work with subsidence, but I think you've talked about subsidence in your earlier interview. But
deep in it again, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's happened since Benny was here.
Oh, really?
But that's a long story.
For some other time.
Mm-hmm. What else about Long Beach that you might like to know? You ever heard of Hap Appleton?
I've heard of him because I was on the Long Beach Day Nursery Board, and I knew that he was one of the advisors on the men's advisory committee of the nursery board. Tell me about him.
Well, I think he might let you interview him. He's very feeble, wheelchair. I think his mind is still pretty alert. He's told me that in 1921, he owned one truck and was starting to make a living trucking. And he was hauling pipe up to Shell Oil Company, who was drilling that well on Signal Hill. And when the well came in, it was a wild gusher.
Yeah.
Sprayed oil all over everybody.
Yeah.
And he was drenched with it. He was carrying pipe or whatever they needed up there to them. And he said, me and my truck were just soaked with oil. Well, that's how much of an old-timer he is, and at any rate, he developed the Advanced Trucking Company, which became a very large trucking company
mm-hmm.
over in Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
Became very wealthy. One of the finest, most generous men I ever knew. And his wife built a big home there on Alamitas Bay, close to Llewellyn. His wife died several years ago. Hap still is a room, and he has to have nurses, I think, 24 hours a day now. Virginia Rose, you've heard of her, no question. And in lots of different ways. She's not all bad. Was here the other night, and she had been working a few hours a day as a kind of a day nurse for Hap, wheeling him around in his wheelchair. She can be a very entertaining, delightful, stimulating person. And she told me that Hap was still quite lucid. I mean, he kind of started talking to her about me and some of the stuff I'd done. And, but he's really an old-timer here and was heavily involved in Long Beach. And he was one of the original, well, in 1950. About 1950. I was on the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, as was he. And we began to hear about this land sinking problem over on Terminal Island that was hurting the Navy and beginning to hurt our own harbor. And we had to put together a little committee of Hap and Dave Root, who ran Guy F. Atkinson Company at that time. He's gone now. A man, I can't remember his name, who ran the Spencer Kellogg Company over there at the Ford Bridge. I was chairman. And that's where we got started on this subsidence thing. In 1956, it had become so bad, the chamber formed a large committee. Really top people, Ellen, Harry Buffum, and Larry Collins, and others. And we really went after it, Hammer and Tom, for 2 or 3 years.
Was it private interests who forced the city to do something about it?
In effect, politically, yes. Because the pressures were so strong on our city officials, that they really were helpless. In 1957, we had become convinced that the only way to save us was to start putting water injection under pressure, repressurization. And we'd learned you couldn't do that unless you had a law which would permit combining all that. There were hundreds of owners involved, you see, not only the city. But the Union Pacific was sucking our oil out of there, Craig's, and hundreds of them. And you, in order to unitize so you could repressure, you had to get them all to agree to let their oil be pushed around and pooled by this repressuring. So before you did it, they had to agree on, okay, now I own 93%, I own 46%, 2%. And that was dealing with millions of dollars, damn important to those people.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't get them to sit down and do it voluntarily. And you couldn't start repressing to save the city until they did that. We finally got a law through the state legislature, but it was voluntary. But finally, we got the Navy got the federal government, and we helped to file a suit naming over 400 oil companies and operators, the city and the state, as plaintiffs and suing them for damages and threatening to shut down all the oil operators unless they got together, unitized, and started repressing. And that's what saved the city. Well, really, in 1957, before that happened, we had the governor, we had Senator Nolan here. The picture's hanging on my wall up here. I was the spokesman for the city of Long Beach because Sam Vickers, the city manager, he was under pressure from the oil people. They didn't want this to happen. George Revision was mayor, and he and Ray Keeler, I guess, said to Sam, okay, you stay in your office, we'll let neighbors handle this. And
you did.
I did.
And, you got two awards?
Mm-hmm.
You're outstanding.
But that was it.